720 WGN. Good evening. Mike Steven filling in for Justin Kaufman here on The Download. Happy to be here with you. 312-981-7200 is our phone and our text line here in the Allstate Showcase studio on beautiful but a little muggy Michigan Avenue. Again, 312-981-7200. Usually I'm here Saturday mornings hosting Outside the Loop. It's Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine, and that's on from 6 to 7, right before the Mr. Fix-It show. Perhaps you've heard of that program every Saturday morning. So I'm happy to be here tonight all the way until 11 o'clock, and a lot to do. But before we get to that, Rob Martyr.
Mike, so good to see you.
Oh, man, I don't get to see you enough.
You know, it's funny, people often ask me, well, who do you get to see at the station, and who would you like to see at the station, and your name always crops up as somebody I would like to see at the station, but we don't work anywhere near each other in terms of our shifts.
I know. Our shifts are completely opposite, actually. but this is always nice when I get to jump in here and work with you. You're looking good.
Thank you, as you are, too.
Well, like I was talking about with Rowan Anna, the moment, I'm telling you, like in April, the moment it hits 50, I'm flip-flops and I'm shorts.
I get it. I understand.
I yearn for this time. Although it's weird because my favorite season is winter, but I love the summer. So it's like I'm sans undershirt. I got a nice collar. Is that too much information?
I got
a nice collared shirt on, and and shorts.
Looks good.
Well, thank you, my friend.
How's the baby?
He is almost 15 months.
Wow.
Little Mikey is almost 15 months.
Wow.
He is walking.
Oh boy.
He's kind of staggering like a drunken sailor, but he's walking.
Everything tethered down at home, I'm assuming.
Oh, not good enough. Not good enough. He's really into doorknobs, like opening doors, which is just terrifying. So it's next level.
Gotta watch those little fingers.
I know. He's into everything. He's into everything, man. I'm telling you.
Fun.
Pete Zimmerman is behind the glass, and it's always... I've never worked with Pete before. I've heard the name. Pete, it's good to finally work with you.
Likewise.
And I got to say, I appreciate the hospitality because... We were talking about this off the air, you know, on Saturday mornings, a little peek behind the curtain here at the Mighty 720. When we come in here at Saturday mornings, usually everything is like picked over. So like the coffee machine is kind of shut down. There's no water. There's no water for us down here in the showcase studio. So it's nice to be here during the week when there's like, supplies like foodstuffs and stuff like that. And vittles. We got little snacks. So it's nice to be a part of that. So thank you for your hospitality. We're back in the office. I said, you know, I'm going to go across the street to the old Starbucks. And he's like, whoa, don't go anywhere. I've got a Keurig machine. So we fired up the old Keurig, and I appreciate that, Pete. So Pete will be taking your calls as well at 312-981-7200. Lots to do. Like I was talking about with Rowan Anna, coming up, we will talk about this really provocative piece that was in the Chicago Reader. It actually came out last week. You could still check it out at chicagoreader.com, talking about the Profiles Theater Company in Buena Park in Chicago. And it's unbelievable, this story, because you see a provocative show, you see a show that's very powerful, that has a lot of emotion and maybe some violence, and it all looks very real, but we all sort of say at the end of the show, okay, look, we know that that was all part of the entertainment, except... At Profiles Theater, some of that stuff was actually really happening on stage. It was actually real, which is terrifying. And we ask ourselves, how the heck could this happen? So Amy Levitt, she co-wrote the cover story last week in the Chicago Reader, and she'll be here in the studio coming up a little later in the show, in the 8 o'clock hour. And this story was so powerful, it actually resulted in Profiles Theater shutting down yesterday. So this is... It's an incredible story, so we'll talk all about that. Later in the program, some live music. Andy Madden's coming in here. He is the lead vocalist and lead guitarist of the band Toy Robots. They're an indie, I guess you'd call them indie power rock. Here's the deal. It's a trio, and that's people, if you've never played in a band, if it's just a trio, that's a lot of work. Because if you screw up, first of all, it's on just one of the three of you guys, or maybe two of you. if you're in a band with like seven people, you can kind of just hang back and let some other people. If you're having an off night, you can let other people sort of do the work for you. If you're in a trio, you got to bring the thunder. Everyone's got every leg on that stool has got to be just totally in. So we'll talk to Andy about playing in Chicago, being an independent artist and what that's like. As I understand it, in the 10 o'clock hour as well, we're going to have, and I don't know, I should ask Pete this, is there going to be beer in the studio? Do we know that?
I haven't got confirmation on that.
Okay.
But I am hoping that there will be beer.
Well, just let me know if I should stick around for the 10 o'clock hour.
You should.
Okay. All right.
Some principle.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I'm writing this down. Thank you very much for that. We'll have some folks from Beguile Brewing. They are located, I guess technically, it's like Damon and Lincoln. It's like Ravenswood-ish. And also the executive director of the Ravenswood Chamber of Commerce. Big old event coming up very soon here in Ravenswood. And we'll talk all about that. The Parking Ticket Geek is here to answer your parking ticket questions. I mean, there's so much. Oh, and Mick Dumke, you've probably read him in the Chicago Sun-Times, one of the best investigative journalists, fantastic reporter. He is here talking about Gary McCarthy's emails, former Chicago police superintendent Gary McCarthy. His emails were released. Mick has spent the last 48 hours just reading his email. So we'll find out what Gary McCarthy, what he was emailing about. Maybe some Facebook friend requests. Who knows? That's all coming up on The Download. I'm Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman this evening. So happy that you are here with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here on 720 WGN. Mike Steven filling in for Justin Kaufman on The Download. Happy that you're here with us on this very, very warm Wednesday evening. 312-981-7200 is the phone and the text line. And, you know, this is interesting. I saw this story, and this is something that it totally jarred my memory. This was, think back all the way to when we had the primary here in Illinois. And I went into the polling place, into the voting booth, and I voted for president. And on the ballot, one of the people I could have voted for, who knows, maybe I did vote for him, Willie Wilson. Remember good old Willie Wilson? He ran for mayor. In fact, he came in third in the last mayoral election. He ran for president, and he wasn't on the ballot only in Illinois. He had, I think it was six other states. Willie Wilson on the ballot in six other states. Look at this. Overall, he got 22,000 votes for president. And I saw this story, and it was interesting. I feel like I had no clue. Like in the mayoral election, you know, I was obviously paying attention, just like I was paying attention to the presidential election. I knew about Willie Wilson. He was making some headlines in the presidential. Had no idea. Had no idea Willie Wilson was even running. And of course, if you don't know who he is, he made his fortune from owning McDonald's franchises, and he did really well. And so he ran for president. And I think it's interesting that now that the election's over, I still see billboards for Willie Wilson, his presidential campaign.
That's sad.
I didn't see him before the election.
Get him on discount. You ran him after the election.
You get like a 2-for-1 special after the election. Yeah, sure. We'll put up 2-for-1 billboards. But he did well in Illinois. He got 6,565 votes. So, all right. He did the best in California, though. He got around 8,700-ish votes. But Willie Wilson, so he is, you know, he's not going anywhere.
He'll be around. He'll be in the next election cycle, I'm sure.
So Rahm's got to think about that, because I don't know if you know this. Rahm typically, he's going through some, like, you know, some growing pains, I guess you want to call them. And typically, he's not looked at as someone who you want to just cuddle up with, snuggle up with. Although I think it was, what was it, the sweater fiasco. Remember during the election, Rahm Emanuel had the cozy sweater, like the cardigan?
Sure, in his commercials.
Yep, and all of a sudden, cozy Rahm. Cozy Rahm, little fireplace. Maybe read the paper, maybe have a little cocktail with Rahm. And we know how it turned out. We know how it turned out. I did play this on this clip. Speaking of Rahm and not being warm and fuzzy, I played this on Outside the Loop this past Saturday morning. I've never had the privilege, the honor, the experience of interviewing Rahm Emanuel, but I know some of us in this building have. And I know that he makes his rounds. He makes his rounds. And he can be very intimidating. And so he was on Chicago Tonight a couple weeks ago. Paris Schutz, who I enjoy his work, was interviewing Rahm. And this is how the last 20 seconds of that interview sounded. He referenced something that was off the record. He referenced something that happened when the microphones were off, which is kind of like a no-no. And I can understand if this guy is intimidating, if Rahm is intimidating, you get nervous, you want to say something. And this is what it sounds like.
As somebody who sat in that office.
Mayor, we got to go. I'm so sorry. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being here.
I think I've made my point about what leadership
takes. And you got to get to a soccer game with your daughter and, from what I understand, your daughter's boyfriend. No, so good luck to him.
Daughter's friend. Okay?
Oh, daughter's friend.
Okay,
sorry.
Paris, that would be the that is now the last interview.
That was off the record.
That's the last interview we do. Thanks, Paris.
Oh, God. Okay, Phil, back to you to wrap things up.
Oh, poor Paris. Yeah, Phil, I think he said, oh, God.
Oh, man.
And my heart, I said this on Saturday morning, my heart goes out to the guy. But, and you know, how many times have guests come in here and you're shooting the breeze off the air? And it's sometimes they'll say, hey, let's not talk about this on the air.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to do that.
Rahm had a similar situation with the guy from Politico. He was down here doing an interview with the guy from Politico, and the Politico guy said, so you're going to somewhere, you know, you're going to Europe for your vacation, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like,
Cuba? Didn't he question him about his Cuban trip?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Rahm does not take well to when you ask him about his family, and I get it, in his personal life, and I totally understand that, but... when you do that, when you say something that was off the record, it's like, oh boy. And here's the deal: like, if it were, like, if Pete, if you were the interviewee,
mm-hmm.
you're a nice, easygoing guy. I mean, Rahm's got that; he's the mayor, he's intimidating. So there's that pressure.
A bully.
Some would say bully.
I'll say that.
Look, I'm afraid he's outside right now, so I gotta like, I'm cool with everybody. Okay, I'm cool with everybody. I don't know who's walking around Michigan Avenue. Rahm could be out there. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Rob will have a look at the news, and we'll talk some politics with Mick Dumke from the Chicago Sun-Times. Stay tuned. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. WGN, Mike Steven filling in for Justin Kaufman on the download this evening. Happy that you're here with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone and the text number. And, you know, yesterday, another batch of email from former Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy was released to the public. And one of the best political reporters and investigative journalists in the city has spent the last 48 hours doing nothing but reading those emails. His name is Mick Dumke. He writes for the Chicago Sun-Times. Hey, man, always great to see you.
You as well, Mike. Now, are you suggesting that anyone would want to do anything else other than go through hundreds and hundreds of pages of Gary McCarthy's emails?
I'm sure it was scintillating, but we, you know, we go through this stuff and we pull out some nuggets and some stuff that maybe shines a light on the inner workings of city council. And look, and I'm not speaking for you, but I would assume that Mick, you would agree with this, that one of the reasons why we do that is because they don't always make it easy for the public to see how government works.
That's absolutely right. You know, to be honest with you, there was a time not so long ago when I wasn't that wild about asking for emails from public officials. It seemed a little bit intrusive even to me. And as you and I have talked many times before mm-hmm. about, you know, my willingness to use the Freedom of Information Act to ask for records.
Yes, you're good
understate
with that thing.
Things. Definitely a FOIA guy. But I had always, you know, the email thing, I felt like I always used to think it was a little bit of a line, like, aren't, you know, even elected officials, city officials, government officials, aren't they allowed a little bit of leeway to have conversations? And then I'd really turned around in the last few months, especially since the release of the Laquan McDonald video, which is really what all of this kind of circles back to, because I just think, you know, we do have a right to know how government works. And this is our government. We're not asking to be privy to all conversations or emails in real time. And so I think, you know, a few months after the fact, I don't think it's unreasonable to see how decisions were made and what conversations were had about certain policies that affect all of us.
Right. And again, it goes back to, in theory, we put these people in office because this is how the system works. We elect people. They work for us. They work for the people. And so in order to see how our government works, government that we fund,
that's
right, through our money. So let's see how all this stuff is going down. So here we are with the Gary McCarthy email. So you've looked through this second batch, and I know that there was some stuff that came out with McCarthy saying, you know, he doesn't have the stones to sign the termination letter himself, talking about Rahm Emanuel. But really, was there anything that jumped out at you that maybe would shine a light on the relationship between the superintendent and the mayor or how government in Chicago is working?
There wasn't that much, to be candid with you. You know, sure, we thought it was funny. We thought it was illuminating in a certain way to talk, you know, this email that Gary McCarthy sent after he was fired to his wife, you know, questioning Mayor Emanuel's manhood and more importantly, the method by which he had been fired and basically saying, you know, he didn't man up and sign this termination letter himself. And, you know, so I think we can interpret that. And there have been other things out before where clearly the former superintendent wasn't too pleased that he was dismissed and was really upset. He thought he was the right guy for the job. And he thought that Mayor Emanuel used him as a scapegoat for all his other problems, which he clearly did.
Right.
But to your point about what else was in there, was it really that revealing? I don't think it was. We didn't find a lot of, you know, there wasn't a lot of substantive discussion of policy or anything going on between the mayor and the superintendent. And first of all, I only saw, we divided this up among several colleagues. I only saw a couple of times where Mayor Emanuel emailed anything at all. It's usually one or two word emails. I mean, I've heard one of his former aides used to refer to him as the ADD mayor. And he wasn't doing that actually in a way to be completely disparaging. He was just saying, this is a guy who moves fast. He is, you know, he's always on the go. He doesn't have time for niceties. And so, you know, text messages, emails I've seen, not just in this batch, but in the past, that's kind of how the mayor communicates. One or two, you know, word kind of, you know, no punctuation kind of messages.
That's got to be stressful for any employee to have your boss be, well, first of all, Rahm Emanuel, but secondly, like that. And it's next level when we talk about the mayor and the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department.
Right. And, you know, one of the emails, I'll give you just an example, was from Mayor Emanuel to Gary McCarthy directly. There was no one else CC'd. And it just said, here, in all capital letters, here. I don't know if it was like, where's the meeting? I don't know. You know, I don't know what it was, but I found it hilarious just in its own, whatever it was about. I just found that I guess in its own way, Mike, it actually is kind of revealing because it does say something about the mayor and his leadership style, I think, where it's just, you know, here.
Yeah, right.
Actually, that sums up a lot of.
I think
Rahm
you're
Emanuel.
Right, and I think, you know, we talk about the mayor a lot. We talk about government a lot, but what gets lost is what is it like to be a human being working at this level of government? It's the same thing with the president. We have this idea of Barack Obama, and for some of us, we have sort of turned him into this caricature, this cartoon character, but we have to understand that this is a man. He is a person. There are people that work in the White House. It's just like here in Chicago. You go to work, and it just so happens that you're walking into the fifth floor of the city of Chicago in City Hall, and it's a high-pressure situation. And so how does Rahm Emanuel, the man, work as a boss, and what does that tell us about his leadership style in Chicago? And I got to think, if you're Gary McCarthy, you were waking up some days going, oh God, I cannot believe I got to go face this guy again.
Well, you're right. And, you know, through these emails, there were other messages that we didn't quote or didn't elaborate on that sort of revealed some of what you're talking about, where in one instance, it was clear something had malfunctioned or an aide to the mayor had sent a notice about a meeting at City Hall. And had done it several times. And so McCarthy responded with a really apparently sarcastic, you know, email like, please stop sending these to me. That, first he said, please stop sending these messages to me. Uh-huh. And then the next one was kind of like, this is great. Is the meeting in September or when is it? And this was like, you know, a mess, an exchange in November. Yeah. It was just like, you know, so there's some things like that. There was one actually in the first batch of emails, we wrote a short story last week where after he was fired, McCarthy was CC'd on a news release where it talked about how the Independent Police Review Authority, which investigates police shootings and misconduct, it talked to, you know, about their procedure for how they were going to handle, you know, accountability issues going forward. And McCarthy said something to the effect of, you know, this is really great. Oh, wait, that would have been better last week, you know. And he said he actually said it in a much more tart and funny way than I'm communicating it. But, you know, it was I read that. We just laughed out loud. It's just kind of like, you know. So, yeah, I think it does say something about it. To your greater point, real quickly, I would say reading through all these emails and the previous email dumps that the administration has made surrounding the Laquan McDonald release and the aftermath, it absolutely has raised my respect for not just the police department, but people working at City Hall, all the pressures coming on them. We sometimes have a rather, you know, brusque set of exchanges with the people doing the press work for the mayor, giving us these canned statements that don't amount to much. But seeing the pressure they're under and how many times they have to clear a statement and who all edits it and how many times they have to run up the flagpole, I was sort of like, you know, these people really have a difficult job.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk more about what's going on with the Independent Police Review Authority and the release of some more videos. And we'll talk about the perception of the police department here in Chicago, because I think that is a very important topic. Mick Dumke is a reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. He is here live in the Allstate Showcase studio on the download. I'm Mike Steven, filling in for Justin Kaufman this evening. We'll take a quick break. We will be right back here on 720 WGN. WGN, Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman on the download. 312-981-7200 is our text line and the phone line if you'd like to give us a call. In the studio right now with Mick Dumke, who is a reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Check out what he is writing, what he has written at suntimes.com. One of the best journalists, one of the best investigative reporters and political reporters in the city of Chicago. And this we've been doing some radio now for a few years, haven't we?
You know, I was just thinking about that on the way over here. What was it? I think it was like the 2007 municipal election when we first started talking.
Yeah.
Crazy Aldermania time there. So, all of a sudden that's like, what, 9 years ago by my math? So, that's a while, Mike.
Look at that. All right, Mick Dumke. Well, really, you've been doing great work all these years and you continue to do so. And we were talking about Gary McCarthy and the analysis of those emails that were released. But also, we should mention this, and I think we have to mention this. The videos, the others, I say this not as a pejorative, but the other set of videos that were released when it comes to demonstrating some abusive tactics from the Chicago Police Department. And, you know, the Laquan McDonald video obviously was startling. It was disturbing. It was really difficult to watch. And it did present something, a problem that is in existence here in Chicago in the police department. But now with the release of these other videos, some would say that, look, this is the image that's out there of police and it's not true. And I think to an extent that is correct. Like, there are great police officers out there, but now what we're seeing on tape, and it's so easy these days, you go on Facebook, you go on Twitter, someone's got a link and you can see this stuff really easily. All you see are the police attacking people.
Well, actually, that's not all you do see. I think you're right that, you know, the accountability process for police and really for all of us, frankly, has changed because of technology. There is video available, you know, where there hasn't been. I mean, there was a case just this week that was, you know, one of my colleagues, Frank Main, wrote about where, you know, officer was caught on video kicking a suspect in the head.
Right.
And as Frank described it to me, you know, the officer was following procedure. The guy was a real jerk, to put it lightly, was, you know, fighting against a police officer. And then sort of at the end, this cop kicks him in the head. And it's sort of like, well, you know, why? Where did, you know, he's got a tough job. So I guess my point to you is that I think the videos, first of all, there hasn't been another video that captured anything like what we saw in the Laquan McDonald video. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the other part of that is that a lot of these videos actually do illustrate, you know, the position that police officers are in when they're responding to some really difficult situations. And so most of these are not particularly clear cut. Most of the videos don't show much of anything, but those who do oftentimes show, you know, the police officers encountering a situation where I think, you know, you have to wonder, well, how could you respond to this?
And I guess my point is, by saying what I said, is you're right. There are a lot of examples of cops doing it the right way, except I feel like we don't see those, because the stuff that gets the attention are the videos where a cop is kicking someone in the head where he doesn't have to.
True.
But you're absolutely right when you say that. And so, you know, we have this discussion because, and you and I have talked about it, there's a institutionalized racism problem.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been, you know, that's why the U.S. Department of Justice is, you know, investigating the police department. And again, if we're being fair here, it's not limited to the police department. We live in the most segregated big city in the United States. So there's all sorts of issues with race here. And so why would it be any different in the police department? And again, that's not to excuse what's gone on there, but it's also just to say, let's keep this thing, you know, in some degree of context. But no, I agree with you, Mike. I think, you know, again, the technology is there. These videos are out there. Police officers are going to all have to wear body cameras when they're on patrol now. And, you know, initially there was some resistance to this from police officers who, you know, were going to say, well, can I ever, you know, do my job? How would you like it if someone was walking around the camera filming you? And, you know, that's a good point. I wouldn't, but I don't have the same job that they do. Theirs is, on one hand, tougher and more challenging, but we also have a different set of expectations that we do for a police officer than they do for a guy sitting at a computer writing news stories. My point here is that, you know, I think police officers, a lot at least, have started to see that the cameras can actually help them, because so many complaints come forward against officers, and it is a strategy from some, you know, guys doing work, running drug businesses and whatever on the street to just file complaints against officers and make them pile up to give them a hard time. So, you know, video should help clear up those kind of cases too, in favor of the officers.
I want to shift gears just a little bit here in the few minutes that we have remaining, talking about Rahm Emanuel and Bruce Rauner. They at one time buddies, what appeared to be a good friendship or a friendship. They were having some wine together.
We all saw the picture.
We all saw the picture.
You know, with Rahm smiling and carrying what was, I think, identified as a very expensive bottle of wine. At one of many Bruce Rauner's many properties.
Right. That relationship has sort of gone south, or at least I should say it's a lot more frosty, especially in recent times. But really, you know, we've got a mess down in Springfield, and it seems like there's no end in sight. And now we're hearing that we're going to have to shut a lot more down because we're just not, we don't have a budget. The government is not working, and we are in a serious financial mess, and both sides won't budge. And you've got Rauner saying, well, you know, Chicago's got its own set of problems. You've got the mayor saying, well, Rauner's got to get his own house in order. I mean, can we make sense of any of this, or is there an end in sight from where you sit?
Well, I don't know what the end is. I mean, right now, it looks like they're both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, are gearing up to, you know, basically for this to stretch on past November. It looks like they're all preparing for war, which is the November elections, rather than, you know, really coming down to make something happen on the budget. Now, that said, supposedly there are working groups still meeting and stuff, so I really hope I'm wrong about that. But what's also happening, Mike, and everyone should be aware of this, and they're not already, is that, you know, this is great political theater. It's horrifying what the consequences are, but both sides are using this to their advantage. I mean, Bruce Rauner is literally going around the state talking about how he's standing up to, you know, the corrupt Chicago Democratic machine.
Right.
And that's the best thing he can say about what he's done so far as governor. Rahm Emanuel, we just got done talking about some of his many, some of his long list of problems. And, you know, to be fighting with the guy who's seen as an ogre the way Bruce Rauner is in Chicago, I actually think makes Rahm look slightly better by comparison. So, you know, and then there's the whole Mike Madigan factor where, you know, he loves a good fight with a union busting Republican as well. So, you know, I hope that they're all interested, is genuinely interested in solving this problem as they say they are, but they are also using this to their advantage at the same time.
And so it goes. We'll just be here watching the theater. I know, Mick, you will be diligently reporting on what's going on. Mick Dumke, reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. Check out what he has been writing at suntimes.com. Hey, man, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thanks for having me over, Mike. Good to see you when there's a little bit of light outside.
I know. Saturday mornings can get kind of dark, although now it gets light at like 4:30
exactly.
in the morning, so
exactly.
it's great. We'll have you back on Outside the Loop.
Sounds good, man.
Breakfast,
good to see
breakfast
you.
After.
Absolutely.
I'm
always.
Holding you to it. I'm holding you to it. It's an early morning for Mick Dumke. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Rob. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on the download on 720 WGN. And, you know, a week ago, the cover story in the Chicago Reader really sparked an outrage in Chicago's theater community, or at least it brought a spotlight to what was going on. The story focused on the, as of yesterday, recently shuttered Profiles Theater in the Buena Park neighborhood in Chicago. It was a small storefront theater that gained a reputation for putting up some pretty powerful productions, but within the local acting scene, Profiles also created a reputation where abuse of actors was commonplace. The co-writer of that cover story is Amy Levitt. She is a staff writer at the Chicago Reader. And by the way, you can check out chicagoreader.com if you'd like to check out that story. Amy is here with us in the Allstate Showcase studio this evening. Hi, nice to see you.
Hi, nice to see you too. Thanks for inviting me.
You are quite welcome. I think this story, I mean, it's to someone who is not part of the local theater scene, it's not comprehensible. It's like, how could this happen? And so the first thing I want to ask you is, your piece got a lot of attention. And yesterday, Profiles, I mean, quite literally, yesterday, Profiles Theater announced that they were closing. Did you have any idea that this story would cause this much commotion?
No. And we didn't expect an impact so quickly. We thought, you know, maybe it'll take time. People will have to look things over.
And the speed or the rate, I think, at which people started, you know, tweeting this and posting it and talking about it, I mean, it was like wildfire.
The Chicago theater community is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Also, they were poised for this. They were waiting. They knew the story was coming. And they were just waiting to put it out there and say, look what is happening here.
And so let's talk about the story. Because when I say that there was and there is abuse in the theater scene, I think to someone on the street, you might say, well, what the heck are you talking about? So what is the story when it comes to Profiles? What was going on?
Well, I think it's different if you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a young woman, you feel kind of powerless and you want to be in this theater and you want to do a good job and you're getting these important roles. And then, you know, weird things are happening. You don't know any better because you don't know what theater is supposed to be like. You know, you're right out of college or whatever. And then, you know, things happen and you don't know. You have the right to say no, or you're afraid to say no. And if you see something happening to somebody else, you're thinking, well, what do I do? Or you're manipulated into thinking, well, there's something wrong with the other person and the abuser is punishing them. The abuser is right.
And you know, when it comes to theater, just in general, it's insanely competitive.
Oh, yes.
And so you have people who want to do anything to get these roles. And again, it is different if you're a woman. Absolutely. And if you're a woman, you want to get these roles and you got to play the game, right? So that's in part what was going on. So when we talk about
profiles itself. So this is a theater company, like I said, that has or had a reputation of doing some pretty powerful productions. So a lot of emotion, violence in their productions. Tell us the story of what was going on there for many years. Because from your piece, it seems like it centers around this guy, Daryl Cox.
Yeah, Daryl Cox. He was the artistic director, well, co-artistic director. And this was like his kingdom, I think. He was this lead actor. He directed a lot of the productions. Even when he wasn't directing the productions, he would be the one giving notes. He was just a very powerful personality. I mean, he was this theater pretty much.
And so he is in a position of this power. He's an actor, a co-artistic director.
He's an incredibly talented actor, I should say.
Award-winning.
Yes, four Jeff Awards.
And so what happens then? So people start to come to this theater. They hear about Profiles, first of all, because it's getting this reputation that this small storefront theater in Chicago is doing some great stuff. So people want to be a part of it. And I know Tracy Letts was involved, right? He had some show.
That was Killer Joe. That was right. Their biggest production.
Yeah. So what specifically was Daryl Cox doing to these actors to make them feel uncomfortable or abuse them?
Well, in theater, there is this thing called fight choreography where you pretend that you're hurting somebody, but you don't actually hurt them. And it's this illusion, but it's like a compact you have with the audience. When you see a fight on stage, the audience, you don't want to think that it's real. You just want to, it makes you feel better if it's pretend. You can just, they come out at the end and they smile and it's great.
Right.
So for this particularly one show, Killer Joe, in 2010, there was fight choreography. They had professional choreographers come in and they worked with the cast. And there's a big fight at the end. And, they were taught how to, fall and pretend they were being hit and all this stuff. And then the choreography, just as time went on, it was ignored. The stage manager, who's supposed to stand in and say, be the intermediary between the actors and the director. She said they didn't listen to her. She said that every time she tried to complain, she'd be brushed off by the director and the actor. And then Daryl Cox would not. He was the lead actor. He was Joe, Killer Joe.
Right.
He was the one doing the beating up. The actors say he would show up late for performances so they wouldn't have time to address these issues before they went on stage. There's supposed to be something called a fight call before you go on, and you're supposed to go through your moves before each performance and adjust, and they never had that.
So he was actually on stage for real committing this violence.
That is what all the actors and crew members I've talked to have said.
Wow. So he's on stage. He's actually beating people.
Yes.
Hitting people. And the response from the actors was what? Because I like to think that, hey, if I'm an actor and you hit me on stage for real, I'm going to say, hey, dude, after the show, you really clocked me. What was the response from the actors?
The actors, I think they did try to say something and they were ignored, they say. They were, and then after that, they were just, when you're in the middle of an abusive situation, often you don't know that it's an abusive situation. You're just so caught up in things, you cannot see the way out. And it's easy to say from the outside or in retrospect, like, well, I should have done this, or I should have stopped in the middle of the performance and said no.
Right.
But they wanted to do a good show. They believed in their professionalism, and they believed this is what it takes to be a good actor.
Wow. So this stuff was going on for many years at Profiles?
Yeah. Well, I think Killer Joe was the worst. There were all kinds of other abuses, people say. Like Cox had, if you challenged him or if he got angry with you, he would break character on stage.
Wow.
And he would say to his co-stars, they would say their line and he would say things like, I don't believe you.
Really?
Yes. In the story, one actor said that Cox physically attacked him on stage one night, even though it wasn't in the script.
Wow. And so he was getting away with all this. We're going to take a quick break, Amy. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how he did continue to get away with this and ultimately what ended up happening to him and why people at Profiles didn't sort of sound the alarms, blow the whistles, whatever you want to say. Amy Levitt is a staff writer at the Chicago Reader. She co-wrote the cover story from last week talking about Profiles Theater Company that is now closed down as of yesterday. We'll also talk about that, and in part because of this story. It was extremely powerful. So we'll talk more with Amy after a quick break. I'm Mike Steven. This is The Download. I'm filling in for Justin Kaufman this evening. Stay tuned right here to 720 WGN. I'm going to Milwaukee in July. That's very cool. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. This is The Download. In the Allstate Showcase studio with me this evening is Amy Levitt. She is a staff writer at the Chicago Reader. She has the cover story last week in the Reader about the Profiles Theater Company and the abuse that was happening to the actors at that theater. You can go on to chicagoreader.com if you'd like to check out that story. By the way, it is not a short story.
No, it is not.
And it, I think that's great that the Reader still has long-form journalism like that, because there are a lot of components to what was going on here. So I think it's a really powerful read. We were talking about this actor, artistic director, Daryl Cox at Profiles Theater, and how he was in this position of power and he was abusing people on stage. There was also some sexual abuse on stage.
Yes, he had a tendency to date his leading ladies and other people within the theater, sometimes multiple ones at once. And he could, those relationships, the women say, were abusive as well.
And so what ended up happening? Because this was going on for a while. But when we talk about Daryl Cox as sort of the person who is the main force behind this, we ask the question, well, what happened to him? Ultimately, what happened to him?
Well, a lot of people didn't speak up for a long time.
Yeah.
Because he would say threatening things like, I will ruin you, or I will make my influence known. And people were afraid he would destroy their careers. And then a lot of these women, too, they left town. They stopped acting. They just went away and they didn't talk about it. And the people within the theater, they didn't know, because people would leave and they wouldn't come back. So, you know, and a lot of people thought this was only happening to them. They felt a very, that was another thing that abusers do. They isolate you and they make you feel like you're the only one that feels this way and that everything is upside down and you don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore.
And so when we talk about Daryl Cox, obviously the cat's out of the bag, did he ever, I don't want to say get his just dues, or was there any justice that were... that was brought to him? What happened to Daryl Cox?
Well, we started working on the story about 2 years ago. My co-writer, Christopher Pyatt, he was talking to people. There were all these rumors and, you know, it's a lot of smoke and they just sounded too unreal and nobody believed them because no one who had actually experienced these things ever came forward. And then a friend of his said, you know, I've met people who have had these experiences. So Christopher started looking into it. And then a few months later, this actress named Lori Myers posted something on Facebook about rumors that she had heard. And all these people direct messaged her right away saying, is it this theater? And she started a secret Facebook group called Not in Our House. And they started a support group. And they also started writing a code of conduct for non-equity theaters. Non-equity, they're not part of the union, so they don't have the union protection. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of the time of Profiles, when the abuses were happening, it was non-equity.
Okay. And do we know where Daryl Cox ended up, though? Because we talk about like what this guy was doing, and the story comes out, and you see a lot of people saying, well, let's bring this guy to justice. Let's give this guy some punishment. But where is he?
We don't know. He issued a statement on Facebook last Friday night, really late, you know, when everyone in the theater community was in rehearsal or you know, performing or whatever. And he said he was also a proponent of preventing workplace harassment. And he urged everyone to read the story. And he said that he had been made the villain of the piece. And he wanted to meet with people and discuss these issues, but he never apologized, which made people very angry.
Huh. So he did respond to the allegations.
Respond, yeah. And it was kind of a non-response, but he responded.
This is, I mean, to hear that something goes on like this, it's unbelievable because, you know, in a way, it's like you think about a theater, and even though Profiles was this small 50-seat theater.
It grew, actually. It It expanded a few years ago.
Okay.
So there were two theaters now. There's the 50-seat theater, and then there's a 100-seat theater.
But still relatively, when we talk about theater, you know, an intimate experience, you have people in the room. And you think, well, look, this is a safe space because I'm surrounded by a group of 50 or 100 people that obviously, if something's going wrong, maybe they would do something. But they don't know. It's part of the show.
I've talked to people who saw that performance of Killer Joe several over the past few days, and they said they just felt really weird about it. It seemed too intense to be real.
Mm-hmm.
But they believed in the illusion of theater. That was what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And this abuse, we were talking about this off the air, still goes on in other theaters.
We have an email at the end of the story, tips@chicagoreader.com, and people have been writing to us. It's been terrible just hearing about all the things that they endure. The things that people think they can do to other people just because it's their art or because they have power in this tiny, tiny realm.
And Profiles Theater has now shut down, effective last night?
That's what yesterday. They put up the notice on their Facebook page. I mean, not their Facebook page. Yeah, they did put it on their Facebook page and their Twitter and their website. And the Facebook and Twitter are now gone, so you can't read the statement in its natural habitat anymore, though it's been reprinted many times.
Right, and check out chicagoreader.com. I know you, Amy, wrote about the latest updates with that. And we don't know who, but somebody took a bunch of readers and sort of like wallpapered the front of Profiles Theater.
Yeah, those were a bunch of actresses. They were very angry. They were not affiliated with Not in Our House, which does not condone vandalism. They were very clear about that. But yeah, they were just the community is extremely angry.
And they should be, because this, I mean, on no planet, nowhere should this ever exist. It's disgusting. And I mean, the story is incredibly disturbing and powerful. And I'm glad you wrote about it because
Thank
we need
you.
To know about it.
Well, it happens not just in theater. It happens. There's been talk of it happening in the comedy scene. Mm-hmm. It happens in art schools. I've heard stories about that. I was in a creative writing program and it happened there, too. It's not just the theater.
Man, it's sad that this does happen, but it does happen. So we have to keep talking about it and get it out there. And I'm glad that you did, Amy. Again, Amy Levitt is the co-author of the cover story in last week's Chicago Reader. You can get it online now, chicagoreader.com. It's all about the Profiles Theater Company in the Buena Park neighborhood in Chicago. There is, like you said, a number and an email at the end of that article. If you are a victim of this, there is help. And I'm deeply appreciative of you doing that.
Well, we're not offering the help, I just want to say.
You're not offering the help.
Yeah, but in the story we have do list resources for help.
Exactly.
And you can share your story with us.
Sounds good. Amy Levitt, thank you so much for coming by the studio tonight. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
You got it. Mike Steven filling in for Justin Kaufman. We'll take a short break here on The Download. Be right back after these with a look at the news here on 720 WGN. Thank you, Mr. Martier. 720 WGN. Mike Steven filling in for Justin Kaufman on The Download this evening. 312-981-7200 is our phone and our text line here in the Allstate Showcase studio. And, you know, I was reading the story. First of all, I have to say this. I've lived in the city since I was 18. I went to Loyola University and lived on campus there. And then I got an off-campus apartment and managed to stay in the city of Chicago ever since. That was many, many years ago, like 1998-ish is when I started college. There is a story on DNA Info Chicago, which is a great local news site. They put up this interactive page. What did your first Chicago apartment cost, and how much would that rent be now? And so it got me thinking about like the very first apartment I ever owned. And really, like when I think about the first apartment that I ever rented, let me just say that again. I didn't own anything out of college. I had like $7 in my sock. That was it. I had sock money. You think I'm kidding? Pete's laughing back there.
Other than the IKEA coffee table, you didn't own anything.
I loved me, and still do, the IKEA desk. The IKEA desk is a staple at the Steven residence right now. I don't know how my wife feels about it, but, you know, it's gotten me through some good times. Anyway, so they've got this link, this story where you can click and it's interactive and you enter where was it in Chicago, you enter how much you were paying in rent and what year, and then it calculates things based on the neighborhood and based on inflation, and it tells you how much today that would be worth in terms of rent. And so I did it, but I actually didn't do it with my college apartment, which maybe I should have. It was in Rogers Park, right by Loyola. I did it when I moved down. This was back in like 2005. I took the plunge, or 2004, I should say. I took the plunge. I was the first among my friends to go to the Wicker Park neighborhood, scary Wicker Park. Back then, it wasn't like it is now. So my buddy John and I went down there, and we got this place. It was on Thomas, and it was $800 a month, and so we were each paying $400. I did the DNA info calculation. Now apparently that would cost $975 a month, adjusted for inflation. And the current median price for a two bedroom citywide. Let's see here. The radio host will try to read this again. Current median price for a two bedroom in the city of Chicago is $1,800. $1,800.
Oof.
Yeah. Rent is not cheap in the city of Chicago. And, you know, it's interesting because we talk about these neighborhoods turning over. And for example, the 606, and you've probably heard of the 606. It's that park. It's that elevated 3 mile long linear park. The rents by the 606 have just gone totally astronomical.
Mike, I also lived on Thomas. We perhaps could have been neighbors.
I think we were pretty close to each other.
And this is around 2001, 2002, I guess, 2003. And there was nothing over there. The Starbucks came in on the corner division.
Right.
And then you had your Gold Star and your Phyllis's, and that's about it.
Right.
And now you go there, and it's like three-level sports bars with 100 TVs. And it's a scene, man.
I'll tell you what. They opened up a Parlor Pizza. Have you heard of this place, Parlor? There's one in the West Loop. Rob's probably been to it because he's all about the hip scene stuff.
No, absolutely.
Anyway, just moving along. They opened up. I love you. They opened up a parlor on Division Street. And so here I am walking in with my son and my wife, and there's a couple other of our friends with their kids, and they're like, what? And I'm like, well, you got to know the neighborhood. I mean, the neighborhood has changed that much now where you've got, and they do have stroller parking, I should say, which is very nice. But I think, you know, people were expecting sort of a scene, and instead they got my 15-month-old kid crying. So there's that. But this also got me thinking about the very first apartment I rented. I keep saying I own, like I'm some sort of, you know, rich basketball player or something. The place on Thomas was a total hole. I mean, picture this: two bedroom apartment. I don't know the square footage. It was tiny. It was, you walked in, there was a little, like, I guess you call it a living room. Then you go into the kitchen, and off the kitchen was my bedroom, and it was like the size of a closet. I've got my twin bed in this closet bedroom, okay? My buddy had the slightly bigger bedroom, both off the kitchen, and there was no central heat, no central air. There was one space heater. It wasn't even a radiator. It was like a little, like a little propeller inside that would just spit out warm air. We would sleep in sleeping bags underneath the covers with stocking caps on. That was the first, like... That was a rough situation.
Was the twin bed on the, like, right on the floor, right? No,
did you have a frame?
Yeah, I had a frame. I mean, who do you think I am? I'm not a barbarian. Oh. I mean, come on. Wow. I had a frame, which I guess was big living. I'll just say this: we ate a lot of pasta. We ate a lot of prepackaged stuff.
Well, I was going to say, since both bedrooms were right off the kitchen, did you guys constantly smell like ramen noodles?
That's what I'm saying. I'll tell you what, ramen noodles seasoned correctly, just magnificent. So that was, and like, you know, I was playing in a band, and like I was totally cool. Like, I live in Wicker Park,
yeah.
And you know, I'm like, I'm poor, and that's a cool thing, and I can't afford heat. And then the pipes burst. There was like this weird storage area in the back, and the pipes burst, and we couldn't fit most of our stuff because the place was so small. So the landlord said, sure, store your stuff out back. And so we did in the storage area, and the pipes burst because it got so cold because there was no heat, and all of our stuff got totally soaked and frozen over. It was just a weird. I mean, my parents are proud of me, you know?
I had a similar experience, but with the air AC. I at my place on Thomas, I was on the first floor, and there were bars on all the windows on first floor. So you couldn't even put a window unit in there. You could open up the windows. That was your AC.
Right.
And I was, you know, living down there, and a couple of friends from where I grew up in the suburbs, you know, came down. They're all, you know, this is going to be great. We're going to go down the city. And they were sleeping over, and of course it happened to be, you know, 109 degrees out that day.
Yeah.
And they were both sleeping on the couch. Uh-huh. And I woke up in the middle of the night to get some water, and they looked like they were about to die. I had to call the hospital because they were like sweating, and they're like, my nickname is Zip. They were like, Zip, what do you got to get out of this place. How are you living? What are you doing?
Yeah, this is dangerous to your health. Please tell me there's a Rob Martier, like, early apartment story.
You know what? I regrettably have never lived in an apartment in Chicago. I know.
You want to try it?
My only apartment story was when I moved to Orlando, and I was living in Kissimmee.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, one of these pastel-looking, I mean, you see them all over the place down there. And it was like I had the television show Cops in my complex every night. There was a guy and his domestic partner downstairs on the first floor. There was another couple on the second floor. And every other night they would switch off.
Yeah.
Who's going to call the cops?
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Well, it passes the time. I guess I'll give you that. But this got me thinking about like first apartment stories, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in the city of Chicago. Rob, do you remember the rent that you paid? Do you remember how much that cost?
It was a one bedroom, but it was fairly big, I'd have to say. It was about $1,300 a month.
Okay. So a decent sized place,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but I can't complain. It had a nice balcony.
Oh, yeah.
Storage units.
Oh, God. We had none of that.
Yeah.
$800 a month for pipes bursting and ramen noodles and. And I guess I had a frame on my bed. Pete, do you remember how much you paid?
I think it was one bedroom around. I think it was around $600.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
$550 perhaps.
Just slum it a little bit, you know.
No washer and dryer anywhere near. You know, I would hang up clothes, like sweaty clothes, just to sit. You know, I'd put it on the back of the bathroom door just to let it breathe and wear it again. It's sickening.
Oh, but just, like, those were the days, right?
No, they were horrible.
Yeah. What am I talking about? But it makes you appreciate the lovely living situations that we have now. 312-981-7200. Did you move into an apartment in the city of Chicago? Or it doesn't have to be Chicago. It can be anywhere. First of all, how much were you paying in rent? What did you get? Were you paying the $600 Pete Zimmerman air your clothes out situation? I also liked when, you could pour water, like you'd get your shirt, like your t-shirt wet in the really hot days, and then you'd just kind of open the window and hope for the breeze, you know? That was probably the lowest point. Well, no, it wasn't. But, I mean, I'm just thinking about some flashbacks from those days. 312-981-7200. How much did you pay for your first apartment? Can be in Chicago or elsewhere. And what situation were you in? Because right now, I mean, I'm looking at this story, and these apartment prices are going up. So I don't know what the place, my old, cave on Thomas, I don't know what that looks like on the inside these days. I'm hoping there's some semblance of air conditioning or heating, and that the current tenants don't have to sleep in a sleeping bag and wear the stocking cap and the flannel footy PJs and get underneath the covers in the bed. That's how we slept. That's how we slept for an entire year until finally it's like, you know what? We're human beings. We probably shouldn't do this. Something kicked in. 312-981-7200. Let's hear your stories. And again, you can go on to dnainfo.com. The article is called, What Did Your First Chicago Apartment Cost? Find out what the rent is now. You go there, you enter some information, and you can find out how much your first apartment was worth. But let's hear your stories. 312-981-7200. 7200, and also your texts as well. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman. We'll take a short break, and I will enjoy the air condition in the Allstate Showcase studio, because I appreciate that stuff, here on 720 WGN. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on the download. Happy that you are here with us this evening. 312-981-7200, talking about your first apartment that you were renting, how much you paid for it, what it was like. By the way, my wife Jenny texted me. She said, yeah, the IKEA desk, it's okay. ... in college. She also said her first rent was $303 in South Bend. Beautiful Castle Point over there by Notre Dame. $303 a month. A couple texts coming in here from area code 773. In 1991, $300 a month. One bedroom, no laundry, no AC at Belmont and Kimball. Lived there 10 and a half years and the landlord never raised the rent. Wow, $300 a month. Although there's no laundry, no AC. Oh, man. 312-981-7200 is the phone and the text line. Let's talk to Michelle. Michelle, you're on WGN. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Where are you calling from?
From Indianapolis.
Well, hello in Indianapolis. So you, let's say, you lived in Phoenix, it says here.
We did, yeah, 1986.
And was that a good situation?
Well, we thought it was at the time. We left Minnesota to move to Phoenix thinking that we were going to the Shangri-La. But no, we spent all our money on this, what we thought was a great apartment. But after that, we had no money left. So we were broke and dumb.
Did you at least have anything cool, like a swimming pool or anything like that?
We did. We had a swimming pool. However, they never cleaned it. So
yeah.
When we initially signed the lease, we thought this was going to be great. We'd have a pool close by. We had no laundry. We had to go to a laundromat to do all of the laundry. And we had to also live on a budget, and that budget included our 10-cent boxes of macaroni and cheese. But in Phoenix, pasta in the summertime is an interesting situation. We'd open it out and dump it into the pan, and it was all full of olive.
Oh, man. You had quite the situation, but you emerged as a better person, right, Michelle?
We did, yes. My boyfriend at the time is now my husband 29 years later.
Look at that. Look at that.
And I guess when you start out with tough beginnings, I guess everything else after that just looks up.
Oh, yeah. It's easy cheesy from here on out. Lemon squeezy. Hey, Michelle, I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks so much. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Look at this. Irene, hold on now. Irene, you lived on Thomas?
No, but I had relatives that lived on Thomas, but I lived near Chicago and Ashland.
Oh, that's right in the neighborhood.
Right in the neighborhood. And I was just telling the other gentleman that I was speaking to, I used to work at the bank on the corner, not Fifth Third. It was MB Financial at the time.
That's Chicago and Ashland. Yeah, all right. So there's...
The bank was on Division in Ashland.
Oh, right by the triangle, the Polish Triangle.
Yes, exactly. You were in the neighborhood on Thomas where the Polish deli was. I don't know if you've ever heard of Kasia's Pierogi.
Oh, I'll tell you, I don't know if you heard. R.I.P.
She died.
Kasia, yeah, she passed away. I believe it was yesterday or today.
Yeah, the funeral was Saturday.
Oh, so then she passed away a little bit before that.
Thursday or Friday, and you guys, you're saying 1800. You were by St. Mary's Hospital there.
Yeah, 1800. Thomas, right by. That's right. It's right like a Division and Western, right?
Levitt. Division
right.
And Levitt. The only reason I'm saying is when I lived in that neighborhood, I said when I sold at my house about 35 years ago. You couldn't give it away. And now that same house is sold on the market for $360,000.
And were you renting or you own the house?
No, we own the house.
Okay.
We own the house. At one time, it was a very nice neighborhood.
Yeah, well, it is now. I mean, I love living there.
Well, it's nice now, but it got nicer. It got worse before it got nicer.
Yeah, it went through a little detour, but, you know, it came out on top.
Yes, it did. But it's still nice. But I can imagine what they're charging now.
Oh, it's insane.
Years ago, when I was when I was selling my house, people kept telling me, you know, that neighborhood is going to come back. And I said, I'd be dead by then.
Well, surprise. Where do you live now?
Oh, I live in Niles, so I'm way far from the old neighborhood. But I get nostalgic once in a while, and I drive past the house, and I just look and say, my dad was kind of a real stern guy. I mean, we were kids. We couldn't sit on the porch. Couldn't get anything dirty or nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And now my mother's curtains are still hanging in the basement.
Oh, isn't that cool? That's a kind of a cool thing.
Nostalgic.
Absolutely. Hey, Irene, I do appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
Interesting program you guys have.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye.
Irene knew a lot about the neighborhood. It's fantastic. Let's talk to real quick here. Yes, Marie, how are you? Is Marie there?
I'm Marie, yes.
Oh, hi, Marie. I'm Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Let's have a conversation.
I almost said Justin.
No, I'm filling in for Justin. He's on a vision quest tonight.
I've got one for you.
Uh-huh.
This is 1963.
Okay.
I lived at the Three Arts Club, which is now defunct, which was at the corner of Dearborn and Goethe, which is right across from the Ambassadors.
Sure.
And one block from the Playboy Mansion and all that.
Right.
And when I lived there, it was $120 a month for breakfast and dinner and a very nice room and, of course, all the facility available to us. But then I moved down the street, and I lived in a studio apartment that was carved into a brownstone, and that was $85 a month.
$85 a month? What year are we talking about?
1964.
Wow, $85 a month, and that is prime real estate.
Well, I didn't know it. I was the most ignorant person. I didn't know I was living on the Gold Coast till after I wasn't living there anymore.
Marie, where do you live now?
Joliet.
Oh, will you say hello to the good folks in Joliet? Some good people over there.
Yeah, I was a music student downtown, and I took breakfast orders at the Drake, and I also attended DePaul. So my focus was on my studies and my music, and I wasn't aware of all the rest of it until after I was married.
Oh, well, isn't that funny how that works out? Marie, hey, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye.
All right, take care. Wow, that's crazy. Gold Coast living for $85 a month. It's a little bit more expensive these days. Ugh. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on The Download. We'll take a quick break, get a look at the news here on 720 WGN. WGN. Thank you very much, Rob. Mike Steven filling in for Justin Kaufman on The Download this evening. So happy that you are here with us. 312-981-7200 is our phone and our text line here in the Allstate Showcase studio. You know, parking and transportation. Yes, parking and transportation. Always big issues here in Chicago because we seem to screw them up all the time. And the one guy who has his, I don't know, finger on the pulse of it. You've got your, I'm trying to think of some car analogy, or I can't do it at the moment.
Accelerator on the
Floor.
My foot on the accelerator.
Right, but you're not in excess of the speed limit because you would be breaking the law.
Oh, yeah, I never break the law.
You do not break the law. He is the parking ticket geek. He is the blogger at theexpiredmeter.com. And, man, I'll tell you, you do a good service. And that sounds weird, but so many of us have questions about parking. Like, where can I park? Where can't I park? The whole parking ticket scenario, fiasco, whatever you want to call it. How do I navigate those waters? You know all this stuff. You've read the code. You've read the municipal code.
Isn't that pathetic?
You have some time on your hands.
Not these days.
I'll tell you, you are a wealth of knowledge, and you've helped a bunch of people out, and you can go to his website, theexpiredmeter.com. You can submit him questions. So, for example, if you get a parking ticket,
yeah,
and you would like to fight it,
mm-hmm,
and you have a what you think is a legitimate case, people can solicit your help.
They can. They can send emails to info@theexpiredmeter.com, and I'll try my best. I've been a little bit of a hiatus as far as writing stories. I've just been busy with a bunch of You know, I got young kids, and they take up a lot of time.
I hear you.
And then I actually have a real job, and that's been taking up a lot of time. And it's I'd rather do this. I'd rather do reporting on the on these issues. But you know, I have a mortgage to pay.
Nah, boo, boo hiss. Well, what we're going to do is a little bit later, we're going to open up the phone lines, 312-981-7200. If you have a question for the parking ticket geek. So if you have a ticket or like a violation, a moving violation, and you think that you'd like to fight it, or you have a question about the actual process of fighting it, you've been through it all.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The reason I know about it is because I failed so often. I've received so many darn parking tickets over the years. And,
yeah, what is that?
That's real stupid. It's stupidity.
I mean, you're the parking ticket geek.
But that's how I became the parking ticket geek. It's just by failing and getting a lot of tickets and then just kind of figuring out how, when I got the bad ones, the ones that were issued improperly, how to fight them, right?
Yeah.
And, It's a real kind of a sad and pathetic like expertise.
No, hold on. I want to let's keep this positive. Okay, let's keep it this is happy good times radio here.
Yeah,
you do some good stuff.
It kind of turned into I was kind of a at parties I was kind of like a novelty act where people come I hear you are really good at fighting parking tickets and I got this ticket and how do I fight it and so people would corner me. And drink beer, you know, we drink beer and, talk about parking tickets. Real exciting
just
stuff.
Scintillating.
What
kind of parties are you going to, by the way?
Well, I haven't gone to any parties lately. I mean, this is when in my youth, pre-children.
But you still retain the parking ticket knowledge. Yes.
I do.
You're still
the knowledge is still there.
You're still the geek.
Yes.
All right. Well, a couple issues before we get to your phone calls. Again, 312-981-7200 and your texts at 312-981-7200. This was something that I believe I was caught in. So you have a bunch of stuff on your website and a couple stories that you have been following. This traffic jam of epic proportions on May 31st. So
I think it was on the 31st, but I think it because of all the construction, I think there are some instances where it just flares up
Okay.
I don't think it's just one day that it happened. That May 31st day was a bad day because I was caught in that too.
Okay, I've definitely been caught in that. So we're talking about this area. I guess it's technically Lincoln Park. So,
yeah, Lincoln Park and Lakeview, and it's not just the only area. There's roads being torn up all over the place, and Fullerton and Ashland there's something going on there.
That's a mess.
It is a mess, and there is over by Illinois Masonic Hospital, which is not called Illinois Masonic anymore, but that's how I remember it. Over off of Sheffield, there's a bunch of stuff over there. Sheffield Diversity.
Oh, like Advocate, I think it's called.
Advocate. Right, so, right. And the Western, of course, the Western of overpass, the viaduct.
Yep.
That's messed up. But even further beyond that, they have the road messed up there. And I think they're putting in new pipes or something. So I'm not even scratching the surface. There's stuff going on. There's something going on at Irving in California. I don't know what that is, but. And I'm just going by just like kind of where I've been scarred recently, trying to, you know, caught in traffic, trying to go somewhere because I drive a lot for my job. I just happen, right. I happen to be in the car a lot. And I remember on that 31st, it rained, which made it even worse. Anytime there's rain on the pavement, any hardcore Chicago drivers know that everybody, I don't know. It doesn't affect me. I mean, I can go the speed limit when it's raining, but a lot of people cannot.
Oh, if there's an ounce of moisture,
I know it's terrible.
People
it's
just
terrible.
Shut down.
And I'm not talking about speeding. I'm just saying, just go the speed limit.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously, you should be a little bit more careful when it's slick out. But the speed limit is set so you can, right? I mean, go in when there's water on the pavement and go the speed limit. But some people get all freaked out. And that particular day, I remember trying to go from. I wasn't going. I forgot where I was coming from. I wasn't even going very far, somewhere in Lakeview to Wicker Park, like you guys are talking. And it literally took 90 minutes.
Yeah. You know what? Guess what? I was in an Uber.
Yeah.
I was in an Uber. Now that I think about it, and that Uber bill, my kid cannot go to college.
I'm sure.
Because I had to pay that Uber bill.
Yeah.
And there was no good way. I was on my phone, trying to Google map, hey, try this route. And there was no, it was Fullerton coming back from, I think, I don't know, Lakeview. It was Fullerton just by Ashland.
Yeah, there's some, and here's the thing. My wife was stuck in something similar a few days before. And I just thought, because I kind of think I'm a superior driver to her.
Oh, I see how it is, Mr. Geek.
And when she took her a long time to get home. She was at DePaul because she's getting an advanced degree there.
Uh-huh.
She's coming home and she's like I should be there in like 15 minutes, and it took over an hour. She kept on apologizing. I don't know what's going on. This is like a week before that May 31st. And I kept on thinking, like, you just don't know how to drive. Like, you don't know that. You don't know. I didn't say this to her. And hopefully she's not listening.
No, she's not listening. No.
And then I was just thinking, well, you just know how to take the shortcuts, right? There's always a shortcut.
Well, so what is happening?
There seems to be an amazing amount of investment in trying to repair infrastructure. What's interesting is I have a friend who worked for the water department, just recently retired. And he said a few years ago, I haven't seen, and he's worked for like, I don't know, 30, 40 years for the city.
Yeah.
And he said that this is going back 5 years. He said the infrastructure is terrible in the city and there's going to be a collapse. And I think the administration has actually recognized this and put in a lot of money into repairing roads and not only repairing roads, but putting in these, you know, water pipes,
right,
and digging up the street wherever they can to get things fixed using, I think he's been using TIF money is my understanding, but there's a whole bunch of it. And I'm not sure if it's all necessary or my issue is, do you have to do it all at the same time and within the same vicinity? Because it's really affecting traffic in a impactful way.
Yeah, in a negative way.
Right, because if you can't, like, okay, so there's construction going on in one area, I understand where it is, I will drive around it. But if you are driving around it and then there's another place and then another place, that then traffic is really, really screwed up.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on the north side, main, you know, in that Lakeview, Lincoln Park, the Roscoe Village area. And that's not just the only area, I know, but I think a lot of it's going on there. And that's affecting, it's really making some major headaches for drivers.
Absolutely. Well, we will talk more about the stories that you're following. Also, if you have a question for the Parking Ticket Geek, 312-981-7200 is the phone and the text line. We'll get to Corinne and everybody holding on because some people have some questions about getting parking tickets, what they should do, how they should fight it. And we're here to help. We wanna help.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Speed camera, red light camera. Oh. I'll do my best to help out.
So all right, that's the Parking Ticket Geek. That's right. 312-981-7200. He is the blogger at theexpiredmeter.com. We'll take a quick break. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman, right here on 720 WGN. WGN, Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on The Download. 312-981-7200 is our phone and our text line. Very important number if you have questions for the Parking Ticket Geek, who is the blogger at theexpiredmeter.com. He knows everything there is to know about parking and transportation in Chicago. You're kind of like the Mr. Fix-It of parking and transportation. I don't want to. I can't encroach on Lou.
Yeah, he can't either.
No, he's the greatest, first of all.
Yeah, he's really
but
cool.
But he's got, that's his thing.
I mean, that's a very high compliment.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I think highly of
I'm
you.
I'm turning blush. I'm blushing.
That works well on radio. Should we talk to Corinne? She's been holding on
let's
here.
Let's talk to her.
So if you have calls for the Geek, 312-981-7200. If you have questions, if you're fighting a parking ticket, if you got a moving violation, if you got a red light camera ticket, it's confusing, it stinks, you want to fight it, Mr. Geek will do his best to help you out. So let's talk to Corinne. Corinne, you're on WGN. How are you?
Good. How are you guys tonight?
Doing great. So what's your question for the Geek?
Okay, so my husband and I live about 2 hours from downtown Chicago, with or without construction. So he leaves. He's an electrician, and he's been working in Sheffield and Fletcher, or so, at an apartment building. He leaves at 3:30 in the morning so that he can get a parking spot on the street.
Mm.
There are no signs. He got a ticket last week or the week before, $75. And in the violation area, it says, because he has a B plate. Now, nothing about that on any sign. And it's not like a box truck. It's a pickup truck.
Huh.
Yeah, so this is one of the... This is actually an issue that's being... changed. Okay, so the B in Chicago, if you have a B plate, Which essentially is a small truck, right? A pickup truck.
Right. Yeah, and, that's all it is.
Yeah, and so the problem in Chicago is that they've always, the law has always defined a B plate as a truck, like the same. It has the same. They consider it the same as like a semi truck or a like a bus or something, which is really stupid, right? I mean, totally stupid.
Yeah.
So the city clerk of Chicago is trying to push through some legislation that will change that and will get rid of that that ticket. It hasn't happened now. I honestly would have to do a little bit of refresh myself on this. It is it's a major problem. So if you're coming in, and I believe there's a defense within the municipal code in Chicago that allows for a truck to be parked on a on a street if they're doing work, right?
Yeah.
So what I would do is, if you go ahead and you can look up online, the Chicago Municipal Code is available online.
Okay.
I'm sure do a quick Google search and find it and look up the actual violation number.
Okay.
In there, if you read the language, there should be a defenses written in there. It doesn't say defense, but it will basically have allowances and such. So
mm-hmm.
read through it, and I believe it will give you the ability to say, hey, look, I'm driving down to the city to work on a project, and I'm a contractor, and I have to park on the street. So because here's the thing, if the city does not allow trucks to come onto residential streets, how's any work going to get done, right?
Right.
How is UPS going to deliver? How are contractors going to get in to work on our houses and do that work?
Right. Well, it's revenue for the city as well when you have people eating lunch there and paying tolls to get there.
It's very short-sighted on the part of the city. And like I said, this city clerk, Susana Mendoza, is actively trying to get it changed. In the meantime, look at the law and see what allowances there are.
Okay.
I believe there's a one that specifically cites contractors as a defense.
Oh.
And allows you to do that. So what I would do is either, and there's two ways to contest a ticket. You can do it by mail. You can do it in person. If he's coming down here on a regular basis, I would really encourage him to do it in person.
Okay.
Because you win most of the time. And here's the thing. The truth is people don't, in order to write a very effective letter to beat a ticket, you have to be a very, very good writer, right?
Okay.
So when you do it in person, you can kind of express it in your own language. You can have some back and forth with the ALJ, which is the administrative law judge, and you can talk and explain it. But I would print out the municipal code, bring it with you, mm-hmm. bring it with him, and let him say, look, I'm a contractor. I have to be here, and the law – again, I have to refresh my memory, but my understanding is that there is an ability to cite a defense of being a contractor and actually working right there. Okay, so just look
Wonderful.
At that and definitely fight that ticket. It's not right that contractors have to pay this extra $75, fine just to work on our homes and apartments in the city.
Yep. Can I ask one more thing?
Real quick.
Little in the city sticker, in the box it says no city sticker displayed. That didn't have anything to do with it, did it?
Okay, so
because he is not a resident of Chicago.
Right. And I would make that defense as well. Bring that up and say, look, I'm not a resident. I don't have to have a city sticker. Okay.
Corinne, do you have a Lou Malnati's by you?
I do not, but we drive probably 24 miles to go to one.
Would you go to one if I gave you a gift certificate?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's the best. I know, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I would.
We just got a Portillo's here in Rockford, and we're trying to petition for a Lou's.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you promise to go, I will give you a gift certificate to Lou Malnati's. Of course, it's the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. It's the best.
You're very sweet, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You got to hold on, okay? Pete's going to talk
to you, all
right?
Absolutely.
All right, hold on. Doing some good work. That's all I'm saying. Lou Malnati's is the best. The Parking Ticket Geek's the best. We'll take a quick break. Back with a look at the news, and then more of the Parking Ticket Geek helping you out. We'll talk more about some other transportation issues in Chicago. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. That's me on the Hammond B3. Mike Steven filling in for Justin Kaufman here on the download, here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone and the text number. If you have a question about maybe getting a parking ticket, a moving violation, how to fight that, how do you navigate through the system, because let's be honest, they don't make it easy for us. You can call in 312-981-7200 live here in the Allstate Showcase studio is the Parking Ticket Geek. He is the blogger at theexpiredmeter.com. It's a great website if you're wondering about parking and transportation in Chicago, theexpiredmeter.com. And got a couple texts coming in here, Mr. Geek, from area code 312 saying you can get around the B plate. We were talking about the B plate, the B license plate thing. The B plate law by getting any of the specialty plates. So like the Hawks, Sox, Bears, etc. But it's more on the renewal cost, but it eliminates that ticket.
See, that's a trick I didn't know about, but that's a good piece of advice. Also, if you live, Corinne's issue was that they're from out of town. Now, if you live in town, you can go to your alderman's office, and at least until they change the law, and you can get a special dispensation somehow. And I honestly don't know exactly how it works, but you go to the alderman's office, say, hey, I got a B plate, I live in your ward, and they'll work with you. I live in 33rd ward, mm-hmm. and they make these like 8.5 by 11 like posters.
Yeah,
they have you get a special sticker, but then they make these little posters that say, hey, you know, ticket person, don't ticket me. I'm allowed to be here. Look at the sticker. Because I guess a lot of people were getting tickets, even though they had the permission from the alderman. And again, I don't know exactly how it works. But again, if you have a B plate and you're facing this issue in the city, go to your alderman's office, explain the situation. They should be able to hook you up and give you that protection so you don't have to worry about it. But again, it looks like shortly we'll have a new law that will allow B-plated vehicles to park without any worry of being ticketed.
Okay, so that's on the horizon here.
It is.
Interesting. All right, so talk to your alderman about that. We'll get to more calls and text at 312-981-7200. Quickly, though, something happened to me, and I don't think this ever happens, and I wanted to tell you about it. So I was in Lakeview. I was driving up Lincoln, and I had to make a quick stop and drop something off at a place up there. And I'm like Lincoln and Southport-ish.
Yeah.
Okay. So I pull over. Now, this was like a quick, super, super quick sort of like I'm just dropping this envelope. Oh, no, that sounds shady. I'm dropping an envelope off in Chicago. It's full of money. I'm dropping this envelope off. It was totally legit. And I didn't even put my flashers on. So I pulled up. And of course, you know, every part of the street there is regulated, like you have to pay at the pay box.
Was it a loading zone you were in?
No. It was this was just like pay to park.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so totally fine.
Yeah.
I pull up. I don't even think about putting my flashers on because I'm like, I'm just going to sprint on in.
Right.
And so I did that. I must have been gone for 90 seconds. I come back and there's the dude in the vest with the little doohickey, gizmo, giving me a ticket. And I'm like, Oh, slow down. I'm here. This is my car. Please, like, don't give me a ticket. And he's like, I just hit send.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, well, can you unsend? Like, is there a mulligan? Is there like a control Z on this thing? Can we undo it? And he said, he's like, sorry, man, I can't. So I was cool.
There's not really much you can do.
I know. And here's the thing, though. In the moment, it takes every ounce, at least it did for me, ounce of my will and my mind to say, he's just doing his job. He does not make the policy.
Right. That's true.
He is just executing what he is told to do in order for him to eat.
I got a few thoughts on what you were saying.
Okay.
So here's a good trick if you get that kind of ticket.
Okay.
Immediately go to the parking meter box and buy it, but just throw in a quarter and get
like a receipt.
Yeah,
the
get
ticket
a receipt.
Thing?
Okay, so then when you can fight the ticket.
Well, how does that work?
Then you just say, hey, I was trying to pay and the guy didn't see me, and then
oh.
and see look because then you said so if he wrote the ticket at like 528 and your receipt is for 529 or right around there. It's like, well, I was down the street getting the receipt. Look at the time. By the time I came back, he or she issued the ticket. So
interesting.
Yeah. So if you any driver that encounters this issue where you're running out and the person's writing the ticket, immediately go to a pay box, just drop in a quarter and get it immediately, and then you write the letter and say, hey, look, what are you talking about?
That's your piece of evidence.
That's your evidence. Right.
Oh, that's interesting. I did not know. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So I it took me a few times before that happened, before I figured, like, oh yeah, all I got to do is run down and do that. And it's a good trick. It's worked for me.
Well, I will do that the next time. Hopefully I won't have to.
Yeah.
Listen to what happened though. So okay. I went on. So I got the ticket on my windshield wiper.
Yeah.
Right underneath. $50.
Yeah.
Went home. You know, I always like, and here's the thing, I don't know why I do this, I always wait like 5 days. I feel like maybe somehow,
right,
this will not go through. And so I waited like a week or 5 days,
yeah,
and I went on to the city of Chicago's website to pay it. Honest to goodness,
yeah,
dismissed. Yep, I went on it. On the website. It.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I entered the violation number and it said dismissed.
Print, you know what? I just to be safe, go print it out that it says.
I took a screenshot.
Okay,
of that.
Good,
yeah.
Good, because yeah. Funkier things have happened.
Dismissed.
Yeah,
I don't know what I did. I mean, I'm thinking like I didn't cuss that guy out. You
well,
know?
I really believe that, like, you have to, as much as it annoys everybody to get a parking ticket, it's never good to get into it with them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to be respectful, because I mean, there's been some people that have gotten into it with these ticket writers and they've, you can get arrested.
Well, yeah, it's assault.
Right. Right. So you have to be, not only are they not, they're just doing their job. They don't, you're right. They do not make the policy. They're making a living, and yeah, it kind of sucks that they're doing that. But, I've seen people get out of tickets by being nice. Like, they're coming out and the guy's like, hasn't sent the ticket. And you say, hey, I'm sorry. You know, please, you know, don't write the ticket on me. I'm leaving right now.
Yeah.
Or I'll put the money in or whatever. And I think in general, if you're nice to them and and there is some leeway for the ticket, you can get it, right? You can, if you're kind and if you're respectful and if you're polite, I think they prefer not to. I mean, there's some hard nosed guys out there that don't care and they will write the ticket no matter what. But in general, if you're nice to them, they will back off and not write it and let you go.
So just let's love. Let's be cool, right? I mean, these people are just trying to earn a living, so I get you on that. I'll tell you what, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get to Liz's phone call and everybody else who's hanging on. Get to some texts as well. 312-981-7200. If you have a question for the parking ticket geek, he's been there. He can help you out. If you've got a moving violation, of something interesting that you taught me, actually, about getting a red light camera ticket, and we'll talk about that. There's the tease. We'll talk about that.
All right.
About that on the other side of this break. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on The Download on 720 WGN. Good evening. Mike Steven filling in for Justin Kaufman here on The Download. 312-981-7200. Hanging here in the Allstate Showcase studio with the parking ticket geek. He is the blogger at theexpiredmeter.com, talking about parking and transportation issues in Chicago. And he's helping some of us out because that's what he does. You can always email him through theexpiredmeter.com all the questions that you have. He knows the Chicago Municipal Code because he is that exciting. And I was going to I teased something.
You mean pathetic, right?
No, you're great. What are you talking about? This is self-esteem radio. Before the break, and I totally forgot what the tease was.
Red light cameras.
Oh, red light cameras. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for...
I'm the assistant producer.
That's right. You're helping out Pete, who's apparently just jamming Megadeth in the booth. I don't know if you heard that. that's great. Keep it up. So I learned this from you, that if you get a red light camera violation, you kind of get a get out of jail free card for the first one.
No, that's for speed cameras.
Oh, for speed cameras. That's right. Speed cameras.
Yeah, for speed
because
cameras.
Because that's what I got.
There's two different types. Okay.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting, that the city has not... installed any new speed cameras in the over a year, which is good. because there's too many, and you know, it's not really about safety; it's about revenue. Okay,
right.
The city's broke, and they're looking for any scam they can to bring in money. Okay, so when they install new ones in the first 30 days, you don't get a ticket, and you get a warning if you get a speed camera ticket in that particular zone. On top of that, everybody gets one get out of jail free card, or you know,
right.
where no matter where you are, if you get a speed camera ticket, the first one is a warning.
Got it.
Okay. So that's always good to know. I mean, I really advise that people be very careful about these things. They, you know, again, it's just like anything. What's crazy is I find it really odd. I'm still getting parking tickets to this day. I mean, I got one the other day, which it infuriates me. I should know better.
You
right?
should.
But I got one. But I've never got a speed camera ticket, and I've never got a red light camera ticket. And I drive a lot, so I don't know
really?
If it's just like I'm really hyper aware, but as a driver in Chicago, you have to be hyper aware.
Yep.
And not only where you're driving and how you're driving and the speed, especially with the speed cameras and the red light cameras, but in addition, the parking is crazy. I mean, I think I've told you there's over 2 million parking tickets issued every year.
Yep.
And there's about 2 million cars registered in the city and about 2 million people. So, I mean, that's like a ticket for every, you know, man, woman, child. There's 1.3 million tickets or cars registered in the city. So that's two tickets on average per year for every car that's registered
wow.
in the city. Obviously, some people get a lot of them and some
right.
people get none, but it averages out to be
right.
that. So, I mean, that's the immensity of the program. And it's no small potatoes as far as tickets and revenue.
A quick text from area code 708 who texted in 312-981-7200. Would you ask the parking ticket geek how long a driver must pause before turning right on a red light?
Well, you have to come to a complete stop. Okay, so you have to basically stop
so the car,
there's
yeah.
no like there's no actual time. You basically your forward momentum has to stop, which means that usually you go back a little before you can go. And again, that's a real scam too, because it's not really that unsafe to kind of roll a red through a red light. I mean, it really isn't, and studies have shown that it's not. And I'm not advising people to roll the red. I'm saying cities around the not only Chicago but other municipalities make a lot of money off of people rolling through red lights at red light cameras. But here's a good tip: you don't actually have to pay your red light camera tickets outside the city of Chicago, because there's no way for them to enforce it. They can't actually. The cities can't go and mess up your credit. There was a recent ruling that came down about 6 months ago. Via a whole bunch of state attorney generals and Lisa Madigan, where they can't do anything to your credit. So because there's not really booting in most communities, there's no way for them to do anything to you.
So if you get a ticket outside of Chicago,
yeah,
you don't like a speeding ticket?
No.
Just a red light camera.
A red light camera ticket.
You don't have to pay it.
You don't have to pay it because they can't affect your credit if you don't pay it. I mean, if it's, some people are, you know, like to pay all their bills, and I appreciate that. But there's no way for them to enforce it unless I can't remember what communities have them. There's very few communities that have the boot, right? Chicago has the boot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Now, again, if you have 10 or more red light camera tickets, actually five, they can suspend your license, right? So don't get five. But I'm saying if you got one red light camera ticket in the suburbs and they don't have boot enforcement, there's no reason to pay it because they can't do anything to collect that
money.
Look at
that. I did not know that. I want to get to Liz, who's been hanging on here. Liz, you're on 720 WGN. How are you?
Hi, very good. I'm so glad you took my call. I almost emailed the parking meter geek a few months ago. We have a neighbor on the corner who got out there one Saturday afternoon and painted the yellow line in front of his house and somehow got a no parking sign put up. His son bought the house behind him, so on another, you know, across the alley, and somehow got the 30 feet in front of his house marked off.
Wait, is it a legitimate city sign?
It looks close, but we've talked to the alderman. We've been to the CAPS meetings. No one will give us an answer, and it's the only place in this entire neighborhood.
What neighborhood? What ward?
I live two blocks away from Mr. Madigan.
So, can you email me that information and maybe some photographs and stuff?
I would love to. All the neighbors have photographs.
So yeah, so it's my email address is info@theexpiredmeter.com, and I'll apologize in advance. I've been crushed at work, so it might take me a little bit to look into this, but it sounds like a really interesting story that I'd like to report on. So info@theexpiredmeter.com, and then just refresh my memory. Say hey, I spoke to you on the other day on WGN, and then if you have photos or any other information, and then I can look into it. I'm guessing that this gentleman is maybe connected somehow via the Madigan machine.
Maybe.
But I don't know how you get away with that if the sign is not legitimate. I mean, it almost seems like it would be illegal in some way to put up your own signs.
It looks pretty authentic, but I was just trying to troll through all the municipal codes about, how they determine parking and no parking zones. And I couldn't find,
at any parking zone, no parking zone or tow zone, that has to be approved by the city council. It has to go, it has to be written into the municipal code. So if it's there, then it's legal. But if it's not there, and theoretically, CDOT should have a listing of all these zones too. So please send me the info. I'd love to look into it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Liz, thanks for the call.
The B vans, they can park overnight in the neighborhood.
The B trucks?
Yeah, the ones with the ladders, the vans with the ladders or the ladder racks.
There's a handful of wards you can't, but there are some that you can. And again, this is why they want to change the law, because it's so crazy. It's hard to understand. It's hard to keep up with it.
Yeah. Well, our neighborhood, you can't, but they do.
All right, Liz, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Real quick, Mike, you're on 720 WG. And real quick, question for the parking ticket geek.
Hi, this is not about a parking ticket. It's about a registration problem I've got. One of my brothers bought me an 09 Nissan Versa a few years ago, thank God. Last year, when I got the stickers for my license plate, I put them on, and a few weeks ago, I found out the registration that came with it was not for the 09 Nissan Versa, but the 06 Hyundai, which he must own. So either he made a mistake when he paid for the stickers for my license plates, or somebody at the state made a mistake. Now, since I don't have the registration for my car at the moment, the 09 Nissan Versa, that's considered a registration situation and not a moving violation. Is that correct?
Have you been ticketed?
I got some kind of a citation, yeah, and I don't know what to do about it.
In what town?
I was in Barrington when I got it.
Okay. You need to get to the Secretary of State's office with any information you have and try to figure it out. Go to one of the locations and explain the situation. See if you can get it worked out with them. I would talk to your brother as well and try to get on the same page, because you can't have, I mean, it's definitely illegal to have the wrong registration in your vehicle or have, the wrong stickers on it. Even if it's a mistake, like a dumb mistake, you should get it rectified right away. Then if you can rectify it quickly, you can use it as a defense to fight that ticket.
But it's considered it's not considered a moving violation, is it?
No, you can only get a moving violation from a police officer while you're in the vehicle. Okay, so any other type of vehicle, any other type of citation, is basically a parking ticket.
So that's what this is, correct?
It is. So if you can rectify it, then you can fight
it. I'll try. Yeah, hey. I live in a little small town over the Illinois Wisconsin state line, Union Grove, and I applied for a driver's job today in Milwaukee, and I haven't had a moving violation in like 5 years, so my record's totally clear. I don't want this to botch it up.
It shouldn't affect it, because it's not a moving violation; it's a parking ticket. So you should be good.
I got to figure it out. And I got stickers on my car, but the stickers were for a Hyundai, like I said. So I didn't even know it until this copper gave it to me. Oh well. All right, you've been a big help. Thanks a lot.
Mike, thanks. I appreciate the phone call. Hey, man, parking ticket geek, blogger at theexpiredmeter.com. Thank you so much.
No, man, thank you. You made my day. It's been a rough day, and this has been actually really nice. And thank you as always for having me on, man.
No, you're great, man. You've helped so many people. Look at you. Go home, sleep well, pat yourself on the back, make yourself a cup of tea, go off to Betty Bye.
That sounds like a great plan.
Fantastic. TheExpiredMeter.com is the website for the Parking Ticket Geek. Mike Steven in for Justin Coffin. We'll take a short break. Be right back and then a look at the news here on 720 WGN. Slow jams. 720 WGN. Mike Steven in for Justin Coffman here on The Download. Happy that you're here with us this evening. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Patty Vasquez here in the Allstate Showcase studio. But right now, listening to some jams from the local band Toy Robots. You can check out their website, toyrobots.rocks. I've never seen that, a dot rocks. Toy Robots. Dot rocks. Some indie rock and roll from here in Chicago. Andy Madden is the lead vocalist. There he is. It's a heck of an intro. And the lead guitarist. What's up, man? How are you?
It's great to see you, Mike.
I'll tell you, I haven't seen you in a while.
How long's it been? Maybe 10 years? In person, anyway?
When were you at the high school reunion?
Yes.
Did we...
Oh, so 8 years ago?
Yeah. Was it that long ago?
I guess so.
I guess it was. So, Andy Madden, like I said, lead guitarist and vocalist for the band Toy Robots. We also went to high school together. Junior high. We went to St. Luke's.
We go way back.
Then Fenwick for high school. And here we are, sitting in the studios of WGN Radio. If you would have told me in Mrs. Gallo's science class in seventh grade, remember we sat across from each other?
Oh, man.
And you wrote in erasable ink, and you're left-handed. I remember this. And so the ink would get all over your hand.
You're also a lefty, aren't you?
No, I'm a right-handed guy. No. Come on.
Yeah. No. Wow. Yeah.
Why would you say
that? Pulling that out of thin air. Because no, you're holding it with your left hand.
Well, I can do things with both hands.
All right.
How's the segment going?
That's a pretty solid memory of
I don't know why I remember that, but here we are. And I know it's funny because this band that you're in, Toy Robots, not the first band you've been in.
Definitely not.
You've played in a few.
More than a few, yes. This is about the third decade of playing. So, yeah, I've seen my fair share of bands. Not too many, though. Our bass player has been in probably about 20 bands.
Really?
Plus in Chicago. So he takes that trophy for us. But, yeah, this is the first band that I've been the front man in. So it's a big leap for me.
So, yeah, you've always been the lead guitarist, but the backup dude or backup singer.
Yes.
But here you are taking the reins as the lead vocalist, and you guys just played Double Door on Monday, right?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. We just played for Red Orchid Theater's closing season, their 23rd season. So we had they had a big party at the Double Door, and yeah, it's the Double Door. So
I know. Well, hopefully it stays the Double Door. I
mean, yeah, you know, it was. We obviously have a laundry list of venues that we want to, cross off, and we're really psyched to get that one on the list before something terrible happens to that place.
Yeah, I hear you. Like I said, you guys are an independent band, and how long have you been together?
So we started playing about a year ago.
Okay.
And it's been great.
And so, you know, I've talked to a lot of local musicians who are unsigned independent acts, and you know, it's funny because I mean, this we talk about the music and something that we all love. And really, if you're a local musician and you're doing it on your own, you're not making a ton of money, if money at all. You really got to love what you're doing. And that's why you're doing this.
That's the only reason at this point.
There's no checks, no airplanes, nothing like that.
No, definitely no airplanes, barely cars. At this point, it's not about wealth or fame. It's really just for the love of the game, and it's a different mindset. At some point, I think in my 20s, there was some illusions or delusions of grandeur,
Yeah.
And that never happened, and life continues on. And, you know, at some point you want to put it away and give it up and say, you know, I've had my time. But, like I said, I think I'm having more fun now than I ever have in the past, because it's a little less pressure. You know, it's just more about making the art and enjoying what it is.
And having fun.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I'll tell you what. You've got your guitar.
I do.
Your acoustic guitar. Why don't you pick that bad boy up? Why don't you play us a song? Again, Andy Madden is the lead guitarist and vocalist from the local band Toy Robots. And they just played Double Door on Monday. Any other gigs coming up in the near future?
Yeah. So our next show is at the Elbow Room, which is another local staple of Chicago.
That's right.
Thursday, July 7th. So we're looking forward to that.
All right. I'll tell you what, strum that guitar for me real quick. Yeah, that's the one. Let's get my mics all situated here. Andy Madden, what's this song called?
So this is a song called Life's Exchange. It's on our debut EP.
All right. Andy Madden from Toy Robots here on 720 WGN.
This makeshift home gave us shelter to. It's time we change that point of view. Well, I can change after all I'm going through. Life is strange and I don't know. I found love and enough to carry through.
life's exchange is what is pulling through. Whoa.
Yeah, Andy Madden, guitarist and vocalist from Toy Robot. Sounds great, man. Tell you what, we'll take a short break. We'll come right back. Maybe have you do one more, and we'll mention the big gig at Elbow Room again.
Sounds good.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Everything okay over there?
That's great.
You're holding your guitar like you're afraid of me, like it's a shield.
You can't take it away from me, man.
That's Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on The Download on 720 WGN. WGN, Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on The Download. Happy that you're here with us tonight. 312-981-7200 is the phone and the text line. Listening to some local tunes from the band Toy Robots. Check them out online, toyrobots.rocks. Andy Madden is the guitarist and vocalist for the band Toy Robots. There we go.
There it is.
Funky funk. I like it. Andy's here live in the Allstate Showcase studio. You know, you guys are a trio. The thing about a trio is everyone's got to pull their share.
There is no hiding behind anybody else.
Nope.
Yeah, and surprisingly, we've pulled it off pretty well.
That's good.
To the point where we've actually gotten compliments about being a really full-sounding trio. So that really says a lot about the drummer and the bass player who... really helped me make me look better.
Well, I'll tell you, that's no easy feat. When you're a trio, we'll call you a power trio.
Oh, we're definitely a power trio.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like you said, nobody to hide behind, and everyone's got to be on. And, you know, playing in the Chicago music scene, and you have done that now for many years, I'm blown away by it because so many independent artists are a part of it. And I think there's some support, even though, you know, you're not necessarily... yet playing places like the Riv or the Aragon, but I mean, it's supportive that there are these great places to play like Elbow Room, like Double Door, Shuba's, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love to play Shuba's. So if anybody from Shuba's is listening.
Oh yeah. Huge fans of GN.
But, yeah, we've played Martyrs and, you know, there's some great clubs in Berwyn that we've played. Wire, Friendly Tap.
Oh, the Friendly Tap.
Of course, Fitzgerald's, you know, yeah. So, yeah, we're really lucky that Chicago has such a plethora of clubs to, you know, cut your teeth on.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, Double Door is still like, I'm still kind of reeling in it for the moment. So, yeah.
Well, when's the show at Elbow Room coming up?
So the Elbow Room show is Thursday, July 7th.
All right,
so,
put it on the old calendar. Well, can you play another tune real quick here?
Yeah.
All right, Andy Madden from the band... Toy Robots. Are you okay? You ready to play?
I'm just thinking. Yeah.
Sure. Montel, yeah. 11.
Yeah, I'm good.
Reverb.
You said this was the last time. I guess we've got some more to go. I wish you learned to change your damn mind and not so willful and opposed. It's really hard to see it your way, when all I want to do is find. But then I start to feel a give way, And I can't let you catch cold. You and me are stuck together. Well, I can't let you go alone. Well, I can't let you go alone. I can't stay here in the morning. All I know, it's time to go. Well, 6 a.m. came with a warning, and I got nothing to show. When I come home in the evening, well, I know one thing, that's for sure. If my heart stays here bleeding, then I know my love is only yours. Yes, I know.
Toy Robots from right here in Chicago. He is the lead guitarist and vocalist. Thanks so much, man. That sounded awesome. Thanks for coming by July 7th at the Elbow Room in Chicago. Fantastic.
We got to do this more often, Mike.
What's, what are you doing next week? Also, we should say toyrobots.rocks.
Not .com.
No, .rocks. .com is so 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, great seeing you.
Likewise, Mike. Thanks
and,
so much.
And we will do it again. 720 WGN, Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman. Quick break and then a look at the news. Don't go away. WGN, Mike Steven. Filling in for Justin Kaufman here on The Download. Thanks for joining us tonight. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Patty Vasquez is here live in the Allstate Showcase studio. You know, one of the really just one of the best places in Chicago, Ravenswood. What a great neighborhood. Lots going on in Ravenswood. In fact, coming up 1 week from this Saturday, so if you don't want to do math, I will tell you, it is Saturday, June 25th. It's the first Ravenswood on Tap Festival, featuring 10 neighborhood breweries and distilleries. And it's happening, you guessed it, in Ravenswood. And I'm so clever. The executive director of the Ravenswood Chamber of Commerce is Megan Bunamovich. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
It's been a long day. And Kevin Carey is the owner of Beguile Brewery. Good to see you again, man.
Good to see you, too.
And Megan, good to see you again. So here's another fun fact. I went to high school with Megan. This has been like an hour of people that I've gone to high school with, and it just worked out that way. So this first ever Ravenswood on Tap Festival.
Yes.
Tell us about how this started. So you're the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce. How did this whole thing come together?
Ravenswood is home to a large amount of breweries and distilleries. It's unique to the rest of the city in that it has an industrial corridor surrounded by residents. So a lot of these breweries have tap rooms and can open up to the community. And it has never been showcased in a street festival, just purely Ravenswood breweries. They usually go to big festivals that Kevin can talk about. But this is our home and showing what we can do in Ravenswood that's special and unique.
That's really cool. So, yeah, I mean, you think about like the amount, first of all, of just art and creativity that's in Ravenswood. And a lot of times you see that maybe sent elsewhere outside of Ravenswood, but especially like with Kevin, with what we're talking about here with craft brewing. I mean, Ravenswood, it's like where it's at right now.
Yeah, it's a pretty great time to be in Ravenswood. We've got a lot of breweries, new breweries opening up. Just this last weekend, we had some neighbors open a brewery called Dovetail. I'm not sure. I don't think they're in this event yet, but
I don't think they have enough to be in the event yet.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool because it's at this point, it's literally across the street from us. So, you know, over the last couple of years, there's been quite a few breweries that have opened. Half Acre was kind of one of the first that settled the North Center Ravenswood area. We've been there for about 4.5 years, and the growth has just been pretty cool. When I moved to the city, I'm actually from Michigan originally, but when I moved to the city, there was only 5 breweries in Chicago. Now we're upwards, in Chicago alone, and now we're upwards of 60.
That's crazy.
10 in our neighborhood.
We have at least 10.
At least 10, yeah.
In Ravenswood.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've been to Beguile, I've been to Koval Distillery. It's awesome. And it's funny because Ravenswood, you know, when you first get into Ravenswood, it seems very residential. And you don't sort of see all the stuff that's, I think, is kind of tucked away, which is, I love it. Like, it's a great little, like, surprise around every corner. You've got these small businesses and eateries and distilleries and breweries, and it's just all bustling. And like you said, Megan, it's all, like, right by each other.
Yeah, you can walk to all of them. You can do a little tour yourself. I think it's like a 2-mile radius that they're...
Yeah, the Ravenswood Industrial Corridor stretches for about 1.5 miles, give or take a few feet. But from, you know, the north to Foster all the way down south to Irving Park, Addison. And we've heard of a lot of people that are now kind of doing what it's kind of like the unofficial Ravenswood Trail, I guess. They'll start in the north and work their way down, finishing at Beguile or starting, depending on which way they go. But it's funny to hear that people are already doing that, kind of making it up on their own. Like, hey, I know that I can go to this neighborhood and I can walk to 4 or 5 different breweries in, you know, a couple hours. It's something that I do when I travel to other cities, you know, when I go visit big cities or even small cities like Midwest cities that have a lot of breweries like Grand Rapids. You can literally just walk from brewery to brewery without having to worry about transportation, things like that. You know, we're pretty fortunate to be right off the Brown Line.
And I feel like the divvies help. You can do a divvy tour.
Oh, yeah. Get a lot of bikes.
That's very helpful. RavenswoodChicago.org is the website. And we'll take a quick break, but I do want to mention this again. Saturday, June 25th, it's the first Ravenswood on Tap Festival, and featuring 10 neighborhood breweries and distilleries. We'll talk more about it after this quick break. By the way, what have you poured me here?
We are drinking the Beguile Blonde Ale. It's our American Blonde Ale. It's about 5.4% ABV.
Tasty.
Yeah, really nice, light, dry, finishes dry. This is actually our most popular beer, both in the tap room and through distribution.
I see it all the time in the Binnies.
In the Binnies. It's in the Binnies. It's in the Trader Joe's, the Whole Foods, and all those places. I hope that my business school professors, they're excited about that, you know, cracking the Whole Foods.
There you go. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about what's happening in Ravenswood because this sounds like it's going to be a great time. Stay tuned. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Mike Steven in for Justin Kaufman here on The Download coming up at 11. Patty Vasquez, and just trying to figure out here, Megan, what year you graduated, your sister. It's like a little high school reunion here. Megan Budimovich is the executive director of the Ravenswood Chamber of Commerce. Kevin Carey is the owner of Beguile Brewing in Ravenswood. And this event that we have been talking about is the first Ravenswood on Tap Festival, coming up Saturday, June 25th. And this is happening from 3 to 9 p.m., rain or shine. Tell us all who's involved, Megan, in this event.
Sure. So we have Andersonville Brewing, Aquanaut Brewing, Band of Bohemia, Beguile Brewing, Dovetail Brewery, Empirical, Half Acre, Koval, Metropolitan, and Spiteful Brewing.
So just a few.
So Dovetail is in there.
That's awesome. Their lager.
It's top notch. Their stuff is amazing.
But see, and here's the great thing. You know, I love to hear when you get a craft brewer who can really appreciate someone else's work, because that's the one thing, you know, now Chicago has this reputation of being like the craft brewing sort of hub, and people will always say like, oh, a lot of craft breweries in Chicago, how can they all stay in business? And it's really, I think, and Kevin right there, the case in point, I mean, that's a good thing that there are so many breweries, aren't there?
Absolutely. You know, we touched on it a little bit before about this kind of clustering idea. You know, the tap room is such a vital part of brewery being successful. The tap room is where you can really connect with your customers. We've had a retail store for about 2.5 years now, and it wasn't until we actually were able to get out there, or not really get out there, they were coming to us, and you have, you know, it's almost like they're there to listen to your spiel, to hear the story, and the consumers who are drinking craft beer, and there's new consumers all the time coming to craft beer, especially in Chicago here. And, you know, they have so many questions and they're excited to meet the brewers. You know, if you come in on a Friday afternoon, our brewer Liz and Jason, you know, you might catch them in the tap room and be able to say, hey, you know, I love this new beer that you made. You know, they're really creative people, and they're basically, you know, to me, they're like chefs. And, you know, when you get to meet the chef that makes, you know, that great steak that you had, or, you know, we're in a culinary city like Chicago, brewers carry that kind of same weight. And so it's cool to see people to interact with, you know, the people who are making their products.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that our generation kind of, we didn't get to see that.
Right. And there's some respect for that, which I think is wonderful. Back to Ravenswood, Megan, right now, what are you excited about? Obviously, this Ravenswood on Tap Festival happening June 25th, but what are you most excited about in Ravenswood right now? Like, what's going on? It could be anything, the vibe, anything.
I mean, I feel like Ravenswood is on the cusp of something huge. There's a lot of pressure from all sides for it to kind of blow up. And that's exciting, but there's some risks and disadvantages to that happening. And as a Chamber of Commerce, we have to be very conscientious of all of the decisions we're making, whether it's zoning changes for more manufacturing, less manufacturing. And it's good and it's exciting and it's a big problem and a good problem to have, but it's something that's going to take a lot of energy, a lot of stakeholders around the table, and a lot of large discussions about what we want for our neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, those are really important questions, and ones that we might not often think about just if we're going about our daily business in Ravenswood, but like zoning changes and making sure that certain businesses have the opportunity to come in, and, you know, what kind of businesses do we want? What kind of vibe do we want? That's all the things that you're thinking about in Ravenswood. And really, I think, I mean, so far it's been a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Because people are going there, which is a phenomenal. Again, Saturday, June 25th. That is, what was that? Okay, cool. Saturday, June 25th. Something's breaking. 10 neighborhood breweries and distilleries. It is the first Ravenswood on Tap Festival. 3 to 9 p.m., rain or shine. Where exactly do we go for this?
Ravenswood and Foster.
Ravenswood and Foster.
West side of the tracks.
Okay, awesome. That is June 25th. It's a Saturday. Kevin, if we want to go to Beguile, how do we get to Beguile?
Ooh, there are many ways.
Okay.
We have several Divvy stations nearby.
All right.
So get those.
I guess the question should be, where do we go?
Oh, where do you go specifically? Well,
you can walk.
You can walk.
Yeah.
Don't park. Don't park on our street.
No, don't
permit parking. So.
That's not good.
But yeah, we're at 1800 West Kyler Avenue. Chicago, Illinois, 60613.
Website?
Website. Not a very good website, but www.begylebrewing.com.
How do you spell that?
B-E-G-Y-L-E, brewing.com. New website coming soon.
All right. Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Hey, you got to spend money in other places.
There you go. Before we get out of here, what is this
You are
situation?
Drinking Band of Bohemia's Guava Pink Peppercorn Rye. What do you think about that?
It is different. It's good. I mean, wow. I don't know. I mean, I like it.
It's smooth.
It's good when I'm on the radio and I don't even know how to describe this. That's what it is.
Would you like to hear their description?
Sure.
It is funky tropical guava mingles with spicy floral pink peppercorns. Add a touch of rye malt to mingle with the spice, and viva la Caribbean.
That's what I was tasting. Viva la Caribbean. Hey, guys, thank you so much for coming by. Again, everyone should go to the Ravenswood on Tap Festival. I guess if you're of age, you should go.
21
and up. We do have a children's corner.
Okay.
Just
saying,
parents.
For the families.
Yeah.
That's important. It's the first Ravenswood on Tap Festival. It's Saturday, June 25th, 3 to 9 p.m., rain or shine. RavenswoodChicago.org is the website. 10 great neighborhood breweries and distilleries. Guys, thanks so much for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having
you
us.
You got it. Stay tuned. Patty Vasquez coming up next right here on 720 WGN. WGN, Mike Steven filling in for Justin Kaufman tonight on The Download. Thank you so much for listening to the program this evening. I'm back on the air again this Saturday morning at 6 with Outside the Loop, and then filling in for Dave Hoekstra Saturday night at 9. Thanks to Pete Zimmerman for producing. Thanks to Esmeralda for doing traffic. And, of course, Rob Martier for doing news. Talk to you again on Saturday. Stay tuned. Patty Vasquez coming up.